Welcome to the Connection Podcast. We are a Christian college ministry and love to have fellowship with God and share our lives with one another every day. Find out more under goconnection.com and visit our Instagram account for the campus of Amsterdam, Braunschweig, or Bonn.
It's great to be with y'all, not just up here, but it's been really fun being part of this, and Jackie and I are just very thankful that we were invited. And Robin, he asked me if I would come and talk, and I said, well, I can only give two talks, and then it kind of grew, and he gave me this topic, okay? The power of community. But if it's not any good, don't blame him. Don't blame him, blame me. But as I prepared this, I thought back to when I was in college, university, as you guys say, and I was in a student group, like Connection, and I've thought back about all that meant to me and how that helped me grow, and I'm very thankful for that. That was the Worldwide Discipleship Association. Have you heard of that? I don't know if it ever went really worldwide. Maybe it wasn't that big a group, but I really gained a lot from that. But when I look at you guys and I see the kind of leadership you have and how you're engaged, I'm more impressed with what y'all are doing. And so I got a lot out of that, and I just, I don't know, I haven't talked to that many of you, I've talked to a number of you, and I don't know how engaged you are. And some of you, you might be a little bit new to Connection, and you might decide to engage more. Because there really is power in community. We've heard over and over, I've quoted so many times, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. And when we hear that, we think, okay, I've got God's spirit in me. We might think, okay, I've got God's spirit, I've got the Bible, I can do it all on my own. I don't really need any help. And that would make logical sense if God is really God and he is in us. But then when we go to God's word, we see that that's not how he designed things. I'm going to ask you a question. You probably have the answer on the sheet. I wish I didn't put the answer on the sheet. But what was the first time in the Bible that God said that something was not good? What was it? Yeah, he said it's not good to be alone, which is kind of interesting. He wasn't saying it was a sin. He had created the world. There was no sin in the world at that time. Adam was in the garden. All the animals were there. He had perfect fellowship with God. He had everything he needed. And yet God looked at him and said, it's not good for him to be alone. And he gave Adam Eve. And we know that, of course, problems came when people were together. But there will be problems when we come together with people. But it's not good for us to be alone. God made us to live in community. And if you look at the news, I know in the American news and German news, people talk about loneliness and how that's an epidemic in the modern world. And we're connected to people all the time with our phones, and we can meet with people. And it's a great thing. I can talk to my son in the United States and see him in real time, and never thought, you know, we'd see something like that when I was a kid. That was like, you know, Star Trek. That was, you know, you couldn't imagine that. And now we have that. And yet, despite all that, we are so often have the feeling that we are alone. And we come from the United States, and the United States, we're a very individualistic nation. We focus on the individual and individual rights, and of course the individual is very important. And if the individual doesn't have rights, nobody has rights. But when we look at God's word, we see that God focuses on each of us as individuals, but the community is really important. I'm going to read a passage that doesn't maybe on its face seem like it has a lot to do with community. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses, their sins against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And that's just, you know, I'm not going to preach that. It would be great to preach it, but I'm not going to preach it. It's tempting to go through all this and just see what Christ has done for us. He took on our sin on him, died on the cross that we could become the righteousness of God. But as an American, I think when I was younger, I'd look at this and I would just focus on me. Yeah, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Oh, I can trust Christ and be a new creation. And this is an appeal to individuals. But if you read it again, you see all the way through. You see the plurals all the way through that. Paul is talking about himself and his fellow missionaries, and he says, us, us, us. But then he said Christ was reconciling the world to himself, all who had come to trust him. And then he says, we implore you on behalf of Christ. And we Americans, we have a problem when we read the Bible because we don't have the plural you. And I think a lot of times we miss the plural you. And when I started reading the Bible in German, somebody have that before before you in German, you do, don't you? Could somebody read verse 20 for us, please?
Treten wir im Auftrag von Christus als seine Gesandten auf. Gott selbst ist es, der die Menschen durch uns zur Umkehr ruft. Wir bitten im Namen von Christus, nimmt die Versöhnung an, die Gott euch anbietet.
Okay, so here that nimmt, das Gott für euch anbietet. And so everywhere Paul went, he was winning people to Christ. And then what was he doing? He was planting churches. He was planting communities because he knew that in order for these people to really grow, they didn't just need God and his word. They needed each other. They needed community. And so we need to understand that when we come in community, the focus is not just on us and what we're getting, but it's on the community itself. I've noticed a lot of folks treat church, particularly in America, but I think sometimes here in Germany, they treat church as if it's a service provider, you know, just where you go to get your needs met, like McDonald's, yeah? I've already talked about McDonald's. That was my first job. I've got another McDonald's illustration. But when you go to McDonald's, you might go in. I'm one of the people, I like to go in. I like to eat there, okay? I want to have the full experience. But when you go in there, it might be full of people, but you're not focused on the other people, are you? No, what's important? What's important is that you get your food and that your order is right. And sometimes we treat church that way. Jake and I went to a really good church in the Richmond area. So I'm not putting the church down. I just thought it was funny that one Sunday at the end of the service, one of the pastors stood up and he said, there are many churches in the Richmond area in which you could worship. We're thankful that you chose to worship with us today. I don't know. That struck me as funny. Like it was a business, you know, like all the churches are competing with each other. And I was just thinking about the fact you go to McDonald's, you don't look at the other people, you don't talk to the other people, and the only time that everybody really comes together at McDonald's is if the service is really bad. And then people start talking to each other about how bad the service is. But normally, you don't even go in. You just go through the drive-thru. You just get your food and you drive on, and you can even do that now. You can go to church online. Maybe not see anybody but the pastor and whoever's leading the music, and you feel like you've gotten your product and you can go on. But when we look at the New Testament, we see that Paul in 1 Timothy, he refers to the church as the household of God. He means the family of God. And then he talks about the church as the body of Christ with many members. And in Galatians, he talks about the Spirit. And we're focusing a lot on the Spirit this weekend. And I want to get to what he says about the Spirit. But before we get to that, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, he talks about what he calls the works of the flesh, the works of the sinful nature, what the sinful nature that we have inherited from Adam produces in us. And I'm just going to read that quickly. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He's saying these are the kind of things, if you're living this kind of life, you're showing that you don't belong to God. And it's interesting, when you look at this list of qualities or ways of living, things you can do, they all have to do with tearing us apart, keeping us apart. Enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension. And you might say, well, sexual morality, that brings people together. It does in a sense, but it also tears people apart. But then he goes on and he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And I was listening to, I can't remember the name of the pastor I heard this from, but I'd never thought of this before. He read through the fruits of the Spirit, and he says, almost all of these, you can't practice these alone. Some of them, I mean, you can have joy and peace in your quiet time alone and have love for God alone. But at some point, you have to have other people in order to practice these things. Patience, kindness. You have to have somebody to be kind to, someone to be patient with. In other words, we need people who get on our nerves so we can learn patience. That's one reason we come together, so we can annoy each other. And when I get annoyed, I remind myself that I'm probably annoying somebody right now. You know, somebody's finding me annoying. I'm doing something to annoy someone, perhaps even now. So the fact is, we cannot grow as Christians just by getting input and praying and reading our Bibles. That's important. A quiet time is important. I was so encouraged hearing that description of what it's like to have a quiet time this morning. It made me want to go have a quiet time right then. We need that, but then we need to come together and practice what we've learned, or we're not going to grow. And so we have the gifts, I mean, the fruit of the Spirit that we need to practice, the kind of Christian character that's only developed in community. And then we have the gifts of the Spirit. And I'm not going to read out the list of the gifts of the Spirit, but I'm going to read a passage from 1 Corinthians, which goes in that direction. You can read further later if you want to. It talks about the different gifts we are given as Christians. But Paul writes, "For just as the body," in verse 12, "is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though there are many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit." So there is unity in the Spirit because we belong to one God and we have the Spirit of that one God in us. But then he goes on and says, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not the hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose." And he goes on, he talks about the different kind of gifts we have, and he's basically saying we need each other. We could say that God has given us different strengths, but also different weaknesses, so we learn to depend on each other so that he serves us through one another. And he's talking about the whole body, so it's not just whoever's leading from up front, whoever's your group leader, whoever's preaching, whoever's leading music. It's every member. Every member has an important part to play. And we can only grow in community. I'm going to read another passage from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. There we read, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." He's saying we need to hold fast to what we have come to accept, that Jesus died for our sins. We have come to trust him, that he's risen from the dead, that he is our Lord. In the verse 24, he writes, "And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." He's talking about the day that we're going to be with Christ. Either he's going to come back or we're going to go to be with him, die and go to be with him. And he's saying we need to consider how we're going to encourage each other. That means we need to be thinking. We need to be creative. We're not just coming to a group and thinking, what is there for me, but how can I help the other person? That was something that took me a while to learn when I was in a college ministry. I wasn't one of the leaders. I did end up leading a small group at one point, but I remember I had a really good small group leader. He'd come to me at SEEM for a few weeks. He would come every afternoon, I don't know, maybe Thursday afternoon, whenever we met, and he'd say, "Hey, you come to small group tonight." And each time I'd say, "Not tonight. I've got too much homework to do. I've got to do this. I've got that. I've got to write a paper." I always had a reason. I always wanted to go, but I always thought I didn't have time. And he would always come and ask me, and I would always tell him, and he'd say, "Oh, you should really come." And then I'd sort of feel guilty, and so I would go. And every time I went, I thought, "Oh, that's so dumb. I wasn't going to go. That was great. I really benefited from that." But what I didn't think was, yeah, I needed to be there for the other people as well. I had something to contribute. I was just thinking about what I could get. And that's something I started to learn. I saw people more mature than myself who were looking around for how they could help people, how they could serve people. And that's a weakness that I have. I don't have the gift of service, and Jackie has that, and she's always like, have you done this? Have you thought about that? Let's do this for this person. I need her input because she's gifted in that way. So I would encourage you, if you're involved in Connection, just remember it's not all about you, and there's a way that God wants you to contribute. And I don't think the author of Hebrews, we don't know who wrote it, I don't think he's saying consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. I don't think he's saying you leaders come up with a new program. Yeah, sometimes leaders need to do that. Or people in leadership figure out how you can help those who are under you in some sense. He's saying to everyone, everyone has a role to play. And I wasn't planning on doing this when I wrote this talk, but I want to read a little further. The words, if you keep reading in Hebrews, it's a little bit scary, and it's the kind of thing you might want to avoid because this is a controversial text. But he's already told the Christians they need to be thinking, how can they help each other? How can they not only help each other, stir one another up to love and good deeds? It's not enough to love other people. You're trying to get them to do good with you. So you're being creative. You're thinking, what does this person need? How can I help him? How can I help her to follow Christ more closely? And then he says in verse 26, for if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much more worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? Okay, that sounds like a threat, but it's really a warning. And what is he saying? He's saying there's a danger that if we are not helping each other, if we're not supporting each other, there are going to be some people who don't just stop coming to the small group, but they're not going to be following Christ. And as a pastor, I've never seen anything good of someone who just stops coming to church. And I'm not saying they need to go to our church. If they might need to go to a better church. There might be a better church for them. But I see what happens when people draw back from community. And a lot of times it's well-meaning. I can think of a guy, I've got to earn money to send back to my family. And he has lots of things he has to do. And then he draws back and you see the kind of things that can happen in his life, and that can happen in the life of any of us who decide that community is not important right now. And please don't hear that as a threat, and don't hear that as me saying, you need connection, you've got to invest here. Maybe God wants you to invest somewhere else. But I just want you to think about the fact that you need community, and the community needs you. Even if you feel like there's not much you can contribute, there is a place, there's a way for you to serve. Maybe not formally, maybe you need to be very creative and there's someone and you need to go to that person and offer friendship or talk to that person or encourage him or encourage her in some way. I think of a young man that I know in the United States. He noticed that he and his Christian friends, they would talk with one another, they would confess their sins, and some of them would say, hey, I've looked at some pornography, and they would pray, and then a week or two later, it would happen again. And he thought, we're not making progress. We need to make progress in holiness. And so he did some research and he got things together and he said, hey, let's form a group and let's really do this right. And because he was willing to do that, he didn't get paid to do that. Nobody asked him to do that. He wanted to do that for his friends, and they are growing in holiness. And so sometimes you might need to be the one who says, I'm going to do something. I'm going to start something. I think of a young woman, Alina, in our church. She's in university, and she has a very interesting story. I'm not going to go into all of it, but she's given us the permission to share it. She had some serious problems. She was actually living in a group home, a brilliant young woman, and she started attending our church and eventually went to one of our retreats, and she was not a Christian, and she was listening to everything that was said, and it was after one of the talks, and she was out rolling her cigarettes, you know, and she came to faith. that weekend and was just really changed. And she was someone with a lot of fears who's overcome those fears and is just a great evangelist. And you could see very early on that she was very gifted at telling people about Jesus. And I said to her, Alina, could we start a Bible study for you and your friends? You could help lead it, or you don't have to help lead it, but your friends need Jesus, and you're already telling them they can come together, we can read the Bible together, and some of them will come to faith. And she said, well, let me pray about it. And then she came back about a week later, and she said, I don't want to do a group for my friends. I want it to be a mixed group. I want old people to be able to come because I want to invite my mother. And so she invited her mother, and it took a while, but her mother came to faith. And Her mother came to faith, and I don't know what I'm doing, but okay. All right, hello? And then, another young man came to faith. But before he came to faith, he said, could we start praying for my mom, Yoshua, who is now, 23 or so? And his mom came to faith, and we were able to baptize them on the same day. And I'm just telling these stories about new believers who were able to have a huge impact just because they weren't just thinking about themselves and what they could get or needed. And they also weren't just thinking about what leaders could do, but they were thinking about who they could reach. I could tell some more stories, but I think the most important thing is for you guys to write your own stories. And some of those stories might happen in your small group tonight. There may be somebody you've been thinking, oh, I should talk to that person. Or maybe there's somebody you're kind of wondering, what's his deal? Well, maybe you need to go and talk to that person and find out how to encourage them. And I'm just going to pray briefly for us. God, just thank you for all the gifted people in this room. You love them so much that you sent your son, Jesus, to die for each of them as individuals. Even if they were the only person in the world, you would have paid that price. And yet you paid it not just to save us as individuals, but to bring us together. And God, I just pray that you would show us where you want us to be, and pray that in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Connection Podcast. Check out our website, goconnection.com, for more information and to contact our campus leaders.